Oh. God's just amazing. You know, I mean, he's here. With that being said, I'm going to get straight into the word. The title of my message is Trusting God's Leading. Trusting God's Leading. My foundational scripture this morning is in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. That's where I'm going to start off. A lot of people know this scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. The Word of God reads, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight." Once again, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. Trusting with Him with all our heart, not with some of our heart, with everything that's in our being. Trust in Him. And He will make our path straight. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 55, starting in verse 6. "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on them. And to our God, for He will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Do you know that He's God? He's the one who created this world. Amen. His ways are higher than our ways. His thinking is greater than us. Do you know that God has the best in store for us? You know, we might wonder why we're going through so many things in life, growing, like, you know, we go through trials and tribulations. But you know that God sees the big picture. I can speak for my life as I'm here this morning. God has placed families in my life for a reason, for a purpose, for a season. And each one of us has a calling, something that God has something special for each one of us. And when the Bible says that I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. When you have tasted His presence and you know that He is a loving Father and that He wants nothing but the best in store for you. When you know that you're a part of something greater than yourselves. That's amazing to know that, you know what, I am a part of something greater than myself. His ways are higher than mine. Trusting in God's leading. I'm going to talk about two Bible characters this morning. I'm going to do some reading this morning, so just bear with me this morning. I'm going to talk about Noah and about Jonah. How Noah trusted God. You can imagine in those times when God told them to build a boat, people are like, "What is this guy doing?" You can imagine the headlines. There's this man building a boat. Can you only picture it, right? But you know what? He trusted God. And that's what I'm going to focus on this morning. In Genesis chapter 6, starting in Genesis chapter 6. Starting in verse 5. Just bear with me this morning. I'm going to use some few scriptures. But I think I got to try to get a point across. Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 5. "The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that He made human beings on the earth, and His heart was deeply troubled. So the Lord said, 'I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them and the animals, the birds and the creatures, then now along the ground, for I regret that I have made them.' But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people in his time, and he walked faithfully with God. He was walking faithful with God. That's what the Word of God says. Just go on to verse 13. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all the people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make room in it, and the coal with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below roof an opening 1 cubit high all around. Put a door on the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. 2 of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves with the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is in it to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything just as God commanded him. As you all know, this world is becoming darker. Things are happening around us that we might not understand. Here's it talking about Noah and how the world was at the time. We see God walked Noah walked faithfully with God, and God gave him favor. So because of you are walking faithfully before me, I'm going to save you and your family. Same thing with today. Things that are happening are just left and right. We hear about it in the media. If a family comes together with God, God's going to protect you. How God protected Noah and his family. People are probably saying, this man is crazy for what he's doing. But do you think he cared? He knew that God had told them to build this ark. And God was saying, because of your faithfulness, I will take care of your family. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. The Lord said to Noah, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. There it is. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep these various kinds alive together throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made. And Noah did all that the Lord commanded him. There it is, that word again, all. Verse 13. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his 3 sons, entered the ark. That is a beautiful verse right there. They entered the ark, a place of safety. I'm sure his family thought, like, man, our dad's crazy. His sons were like, why is he doing this? But you know, Noah knew he heard from God. Genesis chapter 9, verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, I am now established my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that was with you, the birds and the livestock and the wild animals, all those that came out of the ark with you, every living creature on earth. I established my covenant with you. Covenant means a promise. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of the flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. Verse 12. Then God said, this is a sign of the covenant I'm making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind in the earth. So God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all the life of the earth. So again, a rainbow represents a covenant that he's made between God's people. This is the beginning of the book, Genesis. And we are partaking in the blessings because of the different people that paved the way throughout this history of the faith. The people that stood up for what they truly believed in, no matter what. They trusted in God's leading. Noah trusted in God's leading. And because of his obedience, even today we're partaking because of his obedience. Once again, verse 17 reads, so God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and the life of and all the life on the earth. So my point pretty much there is that Noah trusted God. He trusted God's leading. And he took his family with him. Next Bible character I want to talk about is Jonah. Jonah is a character that had a hard time trusting God's leading. And I'm going to go straight into the scriptures this morning. Jonah is towards the end of the Old Testament. It's a small, only has four chapters. So it's towards the end of the Old Testament. Just pardon me, I need some water.
Jonah chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, the Word of God reads, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Verse 4. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. So Jonah, the first thing he did was run. It's like, there's no way I'm going to that city. See, if God will show you what he has for you, you would run. Because his calling is a great calling. We wouldn't be able to... Maybe some people, he shows them, you know. But to me personally, this is me personally. If God would show me something great, it's like, there's no way I would be able to do that. You know, but God shows us step by step. And before you know it, you are walking into the calling of God, not even knowing.
So God is so merciful with us. But if God will show you what he has planned for you, you're like, there's no way I'm going to be doing that. He showed them, and what did Jonah do? We told him what to do, and he ran. It's like, no, I'm not going there. Verse, let me go on to Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Okay, Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. From inside, okay, just the rest of Jonah chapter 1, when he was in the boat, they're like, who was like, why has this storm come upon us? You know, I'm just going to break it down for you. And they're like, it was Jonah said, oh, it's me. Because he was running. Let me go on to verse, same chapter. Then they cried out to the Lord, please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you. Lord, have you done as you please? And then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. As this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. Verse 17. Now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1, the word of God reads, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. He said, in my distress, I called to the Lord. He answered me. From deep in the realm of the dead, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You heard me. You hurled me into the depths, into the very earth of the sea, and the currents swirled about me. And all your waves and breakers swept over me. I said, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. Engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, swirled, wrapped around my head. Okay, we'll go to verse 9. But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say, salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah into dry land. So here is Jonah inside the belly of the well, the fish, crying out to God, right? In a way, just have mercy on me, Lord. And I will do what you called me to do. Jonah chapter 4. Let me go to Jonah chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm sorry. Jonah chapter 3. Jonah goes to Nineveh. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim it to the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. Then Nineveh believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on a sackcloth. Verse 6, when Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This is the proclamation he issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink, but let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may be yet relent and will compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them destruction he had threatened. So starting from the king down, they heed the warning of what Jonah had said. Let's fast. Let's seek God. By a snap of finger, things changed around Nineveh. But once again, let's see how Jonah's going to react to all this. Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. But to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "Isn't this what I said, Lord? When I was still at home, this is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abandoned in love, a God who relents from sending calamity." Verse 3. "Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, Is it right for you to be angry? Verse 5. But Jonah had gone out and sat down at a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in the shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Go on to verse 8. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." He said that again. But God said to Jonah, "It is right for you to be angry about the plant?" "It is," he said. "I am so angry. I wish I were dead. He's saying it again. But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this plant. Though you did not tempt it or make it grow, it sprang overnight and died overnight. And should I concern for the great, and should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals?" So Jonah's heart, it's like, he was upset. Instead of being excited that God had chosen him, used him in a mighty way, he had a hard time trusting God. There's nothing, to me personally, there's nothing more precious to know how God has used me, and I see tears shed. Amen. Like they say, that is priceless. There's no better feeling when God uses you, because it's truly about souls. That's God's heartbeat. God is searching. It's about that. God's looking for throughout the world who wants to be used. My last scripture of this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. So my point with Jonah is that he had a hard time trusting God and his leading. Even when God used him, he was upset. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Word of God reads, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him." Once again, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him." That's exciting. That no eye has seen what God's about to do. It gives us hope. No matter what's going on in our lives, you know what, God? I'm putting my trust in you. I'm putting my hope in you. I might not understand why things happen in my life. I might not understand it. But I put my hope in you. That no eye has seen, no ear has heard, for those who love Him. You love God. God wants to show you incredible things. You are a part of something greater than yourselves. Amen. This morning, I just want you to be encouraged, you to trust Him. Trust His timing. There's things in my personal life that I'm still trusting in. On the top of the list is my mom, you know. I gotta trust that His timing is better than mine. I gotta trust that. Amen. Como dice el dicho en español, que no hay nada como el amor de una madre. In English is that there is nothing that compares to the love of a mother. Growing up, I didn't understand that. Growing up, I didn't understand why my dad was never there and I never met the man. I didn't understand that. I was bitter. I was hurt. I would see my friends, see their sons play sports, and I always thought behind my mind, why can my parents not be here for me? I was upset. I was mad at the world. But I got to trust God that God sees the big picture. I got to trust God that I am a part of something greater than myself. And my person right now, what's going on in my life, I told pastors, it's just amazing. You know, as I shared this, and I took over FCA at my school. And I said, okay, you know, just a little. But now it's like, God's really blowing my mind up. He's really like, wow. You know, it's just, next year, there's this church in Westlaco that wants to do something for the community here in Donna. Just share a little bit what's going on. You know, this individual, you know, I've met him over the phone, and he wants to meet me in person from that church in Westlaco. They're going to do the whole thing. It's what they call Fields of Faith. You know, and the mayor here now wants to do something as well, which is, it's awesome. You know, and I just need one more step to talk to the athletic director, which is Coach Moreno. And anyways, Coach Moreno mentioned my name to this individual. They need someone within that works within the district to be a line of communication. And Coach Moreno mentioned me. What I'm saying is that it's amazing. So I will say to myself, why do they have Fields of Faith in Far? Why do they have Faith in Field in Harlingen? Why can it happen in Donna, Texas? You hear so much negativity about this town, but it's, you know what? God has something special for this town. God has something special for this Rio Grande Valley. Amen. But to be a part of something greater than myself is truly amazing. So sometime next year, there's going to have something with FCA is going to take place in Donna, Texas. And to see young people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody, something to get excited about. You know, we hear so many stories and this taking place. This, you know, you hear the news. And I say, God, wow. It's amazing. I am a part of something greater than myself. I'm not saying that to boast, but I know that God has given me something special. Like Pastor shared this earlier, that you have the treasure. You have it. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this morning. You are a part of something greater. Hang in there. Whatever you've been praying for years, you haven't seen it unfold. You know, it's going to happen. Pastor.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to close with a song, and I'm going to ask you to stand. But by standing, you're saying, I want you to agree with this before you stand. You know, in 2016, we've been talking about keeping Jesus close. And as the year has gone on, I never know where these things head sometimes, but as the year has gone on, what I've come to realize is that part of keeping Jesus close and what I believe God's revealing to us as a church is that there's a lot of trust involved in that. Amen? I mean, when you say you want Jesus close, now he's there. We got to trust him in everything. So this morning, I want you to stand, and by standing, we're saying this together, that in 2016, as we continue to keep Jesus close, we're going to continue to trust him no matter what. We're going to continue to be with him. So stand right now, and let's just pray and sing this song in closing, and let's just trust him. And Eloy is right as far as God has a plan for each and every one of us that's bigger than ourselves, than we can imagine. And keep reading your Bible, keep praying, keep Jesus close. And you're going to see Him move mountains for you. You're going to see Him push the enemy out of the way so that you can walk on dry land. You're going to see Him move, but trust Him. Trust Him. So let's just stand together and let's in unity sing in closing, and we're just going to believe God that this time the seed has been planted. We see how Noah trusted, and we see how Jonah trusted, and he struggled. We don't want to be Jonah. We don't want to be in the belly of the whale. We want to be in the safety of the ark, protected by floods that come around us. We trust You, Lord God. Put us in the ark. Close that door of the ark that no man can open it, and we're protected. There's somebody that maybe this morning that you feel that you're not protected from the enemy's tricks. Well, this morning, be assured that you are protected. Get inside that ark. Be obedient to your God. Just trust Him. In Jesus' name, let's just sing together. Amen. Lead us, Michelle.
You deserve my every breath.